Hold on.
Hello? Nana?
She butt dial you.
I just didn't want to sneeze behind you.
That's right.
This is a train wreck.
Caller, yo.
No one has said that. I don't know if anyone's ever said that. I don't.
It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
What's new, Em?
I get to go first this week. What's new with me? Guys, I'll not be in this episode. Spoiler alert. Because I did a thing today. And that thing was getting my PMP certificate.
Congratulations.
Heyo.
What is a PMP certificate, you might ask? That is a project management professional certificate.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
And Nate, you've been around the house enough to see how much she's been working on this for the last few weeks. I mean, she took a class a while back.
It was a year ago in April.
So she's had this hanging out there and she's wanted to get it done. So we're super proud of this.
Yes.
Like me and the kids are pretty pumped.
Yes.
It's a big deal.
I calculated that I've spent 112 hours in the past 2 weeks brushing up on it. And my exam was today and it was like a legit exam where you had to go in a room and like show them what was up your sleeves and pull up your pants legs and bend and spread so they know you weren't trying to cheat in there. And I was terrified and there were cameras in my face and it was so stressful and my brain is complete mush after going and passing and driving to Tampa and driving home. So
yeah, we didn't even know she'd be back in time for the recording of this episode. So
right. We brought in a ringer.
We made some arrangements.
Yes. And my good friend Kaylee's here and she's hilarious and wonderful. So I'm going to hand her the mic and bid you all adieu.
And she's going to play the role of co-host.
Co-hostess.
Kaylee, you may remember, is from episode 20, I think it was, Kaylee's first duck hunt. She was the star of that episode.
She was also in the boat draft.
She was also in the boat songs draft. At the time, we thought she was a winner. But looking back, Nate, how do you feel about that?
No. Terrible.
Clearly, she lost.
I still think I'm a winner.
Well, you're a winner in life, just not in the boat.
Not in the
draft.
Yeah, not in the draft. You weren't.
What's new with you, Nate?
Well, I think we both kind of had the same idea about the what's new. NPR came out with an article either yesterday, like last week, about how the decline in hunters threatens how the U.S. pays for conservation.
Yeah, this is fascinating. If you haven't seen this article, we'll link to it in the show notes, and we'll also put a link to it on our page so you guys can find it. And Field and Stream has followed up on it. Did you read this?
I did read it.
What are your first thoughts?
My first thoughts is it's a little depressing.
Yeah, so the gist of the article is hunting and fishing license fees pay for conservation land.
Correct.
And you don't get a license to be a bird hunter. You don't get a license to be a hiker. You don't get a license to be a, what else can you be? I don't know, a mountain biker. So the idea behind this is you don't get a license for those things, but you do get one to go hunting or fishing.
Correct.
And that money goes back under, not the Lacey Act.
Well, okay, there's a few different ones. There's okay. The Pittman-Robertson Act.
Pittman-Robertson.
Which is guns and ammo sales. That's all guns and ammo sales. There's 11% excise tax. It was passed in 1937, I believe. And it was basically brought about by hunters that said, look, we enjoy hunting. We enjoy wildlife. Let's try to do something to help conserve it. And this was back when wildlife was in not a very good situation in this country.
Right, because there had been no regulation. You could
no
kill
regulation,
as much
right.
stuff as
late
you
wanted. Late 1800s, basically, most of our wildlife was hunted to extinction. Teddy Roosevelt was a big pioneer in the whole conservation.
Huge pioneer.
Kind of helped found the Boone and Crockett Club, and his namesake is now under the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, which is a huge conservation organization in the United States. But so there's the Pittman-Robertson, which is guns and ammo.
There's Dingle Johnson.
Dingle Johnson, which is like fishing supplies, and that goes towards fishing conservation.
And then there's license sales.
And then the license sales. The biggest contributor to wildlife conservation in the United States is license sales. Second is Pittman Robertson. Third is Dingle Johnson.
59% of funding for conservation, or $3.3 billion, come from outdoor hunting and fishing related
activities.
Hunting
and fishing related, correct.
So the point of this is there's a big concern. In this article, it talks about how baby boomers are essentially dying off. The youngest portion of baby boomers is 54, I think it said, 55,
right.
Something like that. So when they turn 65, they no longer have to buy a license in a lot of states.
Correct.
And or they're getting to the age where they're aging out of hunting.
Yeah, they quit hunting.
And this is a concern because that was the generation that hunted and fished the most of any generation.
Right.
Like they bought the most licenses. They bought the most guns. They bought the most ammo. That's where the money came from. And so there's a huge concern that going forward, who's going to prop up conservation?
Right.
Because there's a dearth of hunters, which dovetails into stuff we've talked about with backcountry hunters and anglers. It dovetails into stuff we've talked about with Ducks Unlimited and getting new hunters and fishermen involved in the sport. And
right.
We felt like it was important enough to talk at the top of the show. Like we have a lot of fun, but this is a serious issue.
Absolutely. Well, and it's going to take a collaborative effort between hunters and non-consumptive outdoor recreators, hikers, bird watchers, horseback riders, campers, everything. So, you know, you could either say, okay, we're going to put a tax on all outdoor gear, backpacks, binoculars, tents, you name it.
Right.
Or we need, because a lot of these states are trying to find funding from elsewhere because the decline in license sales. So it's a big issue, something that needs to be dealt with.
There's also the personal responsibility aspect of it, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That you or I or whoever's listening to this needs to take it upon themselves to introduce new hunters and fishermen to the sport.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. No,
because
that's
the environment will not be able to sustain the decline in hunters. And I know it feels crowded when you go to Toho on Saturday morning or Laco on Saturday morning or Tosahatchee for opening day of turkey or whatever.
Look, the reason it's crowded is because we're losing land at a astronomical rate.
Correct.
So there's less places to hunt. So it's pushing more hunters into smaller confined spaces.
Yes, but there is less hunters.
But there are less hunters.
All data statistically says there's less hunters.
Right.
So what can you do to help get involved and recruit hunters?
Or if you don't hunt, buy a hunting license.
Yeah.
In your state.
A duck stamp. Buy a hunting license.
Even if you don't go hunting. Just buy one. I think in most in-state residents, they're like $20-$25 or something like that. Basically, you're making a donation to conservation by doing
and
that.
There's also an aspect, I think it's mentioned in the article, they could up the rate of the license cost to account for loss in hunters. But then you begin to price some people out of hunting altogether.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you want it to be affordable. So it's really, it's dicey times. It's dicier times for our kids.
Correct.
And our grandkids.
Yes.
Like that's the bigger concern is what's this going to look like in 20 years or 30 years. So
absolutely.
Anyway, we felt like that was important enough that we were willing to give up a few laughs in the top of the show to talk about it. So anyway, we'll share that article. Figure
out
how you
can
get involved. Yeah.
It's worth a read. Hunting, non-hunting, doesn't matter. It's worth a read.
Absolutely. Kaylee, what are we talking about today?
So we're going to do a little game,
kind
of in a sense. We're going to do overrated, underrated, and properly rated.
A game is the foot, as we like to say around here.
A game is the foot.
Just hunting and fishing and some other random things.
All right. So you're going to keep us on track.
I'm going to keep you on track.
Okay.
All right.
So you have a list.
I have a list in front of me that Travis and Nathan kind of both put together, threw out some ideas. So you ready to start?
Go.
All right. The first one is DOA shrimp.
I can count on two hands the number of fish I've caught on a DOA shrimp.
Okay.
So I would say overrated.
You're going overrated.
I think I'm
DOA
going overrated. I mean, I get it. They're super popular. And there are people out there that catch a ton of fish on them. But my personal experience, they're a little overrated.
I'm going properly rated.
I feel like, is it a user error maybe with you?
Well, I just don't use them a lot.
Yeah.
So to me, it's just not.
Southwest Florida is a weird bird because it's so heavily live bait.
Oh, absolutely.
Oriented. But I'm going to say it's properly rated. And I think the reason it's properly rated is I thought they were overrated for a while, like when they first came on the scene and everybody was like DOA, DOA, DOA. And that's died back. And like they still continue to produce to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't hear about them being shoved down your throat all the time like you did.
Like Gulp is now?
Yeah. Like I would say Gulp is overrated. That's not on our list, but I would say it's overrated.
Right.
I feel like DOA is properly rated at this point in time.
Okay. I can see that. Yeah.
You going with me on that?
I think, yeah. In my personal experience, I think they're a little overrated, but I can say in the grand scheme of things, I would believe that they're properly rated.
Because there's also a trick. Now, DOA is one of the few soft plastics I carry because I can use it in lieu of a live shrimp in a lot of applications under a popping cork, or and I can unrig it with the weight, take the hook out of it and everything else, and use a circle hook with it below a popping cork. And just use, I'm just using the body with the
right.
It's got
right.
a scent to it. And anyway, I think it's properly rated. I think it's appropriate.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
All right, Mojo Decoys.
You want to go first on Mojo Decoys?
I'm going to go overrated on these.
Overrated on Mojo Decoys?
I am. They break all the time. And in a lot of applications, especially in Florida, they tend to flare ducks more than they attract ducks.
Okay. I have released Mojo Decoys at one point on this show.
You have?
Because of my frustration with them. I'm going underrated. I think Mojo Decoys are underrated.
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 Everybody and their mother has a Mojo Decoy.
I think they're...
Or eight.
So I think... Okay. I think they're underrated as a differentiator, right? When, you, when you're throwing decoys out, when you're hunting teal, there's like... You're not putting out a diver pattern or spread. You're throwing a little pod of birds out there, and you're trying to get something to trick and land there, and you need something to differentiate you from all the other teal spreads that are sitting in Lake Okeechobee. That mojo can tip it in your favor.
Yeah, but what if every other teal spread in Lake Okeechobee has a mojo in it?
Well, then you got to like tune it properly.
Okay.
Like you got to put it in the right position so you can attract some attention and get them to land without flaring them. All right, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I think I'll eat that one.
Were we using mojo decoys when I went duck hunting?
We did not use a mojo when you went. And did we kill any ducks when you went?
A couple.
But nothing.
But I
like,
was told like 500 were going to fly at my face.
Yes, and so. It didn't happen, did
no.
it?
No. Maybe if we use mojo decoys.
You have to see ducks in order to for ducks to actually be attracted to
I don't
mojo.
Know how duck hunting works. Okay, how do we feel about Costa sunglasses?
All right, I'm going first.
You go first. You can go first.
Get out the
overrated.
I tend to agree.
And yeah, me too. We're really talking all high-end sunglasses, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm a Smith guy.
Absolutely.
And I love them.
Yeah, you are.
You got a pair of Costas. They were
right
on your hat.
Yeah, they're right here. I've got two cracked lenses, and I'm not going to pay the $160 to get them both replaced.
Under warranty.
Because that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
absolutely ridiculous.
The lifetime warranty that they claim.
So I think, I mean, they're super clear, and you can see fish underwater with them, but you can also see fish underwater with the $15 pair you can get at Walmart.
Yeah, I think the difference you'll see is in delamination. I think
right.
I'm saying that right, where the film will start to peel off. When
right.
I bought the cheap ones before, I've seen those delaminate quicker.
They will. They're not glass either. They're plastic.
Right. But Smiths aren't glass. They're polyurethane. Carbon polymer or something.
Oh, yeah,
I forget
know.
What they're made of. But
anyway.
Polycarbonate. That's what they are. The lenses are polycarbonate.
Yeah.
I like Smiths, and I'll wear them, and I'll continue to wear them, and I love them, and they're great. I recommend them. At the same time, when people are like, If you're fishing on a budget, this isn't something you gotta have.
No.
Go to Walmart and get you some Flying Fishermen's.
Right. Yeah.
Or whatever they're called. Calcuttas or...
Yeah, even the Strike King, I think, makes some or whatever. Yeah, no, I like Costas. I've had good luck with them, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of their warranty, quote unquote, warranty.
Warranty. Yeah, that's part of the reason I switched from Costa was the warranty service situation. It was leaving something to be desired.
So, overrated, we're agreeing.
You remember, did you ever watch Seinfeld?
I've seen several.
Have you seen
episodes.
The clip where he goes to pick up the reservation and they don't have a car? And she's like, "We took the reservation." He's like, "I don't think you did because you don't have a car for me." She's like, "No, we have your reservation." He's like, "No, you took the reservation. You didn't hold the reservation."
Right.
That's how I feel about Costa's warranty. They say they have a warranty, but then you call them and they're like, "Oh yeah, spend this $89 and we'll warranty those."
Right.
Yeah, that's.
You say you have a warranty, but you don't understand the warranty.
Yeah. You keep seeing that word. I don't think it means what you
mean. What you think it means.
So overrated.
Overrated.
Yeah, I would agree on that. Surface drives.
Surface drives are underrated.
I would think they're properly rated.
Properly rated.
Yeah, because I think there are some applications where you just don't really need one.
Agreed.
And you have one.
Because they're so much fun.
They're a lot of fun. But in certain applications, they will go through about anything.
That's very true.
So I would say properly rated.
I'd go with you on that. Properly rated. They're not an airboat.
No, of course.
You know
not.
What I mean? They have some limitations that an airboat
you can't
doesn't have.
Go on dry land.
But they also don't have the same profile that an airboat has.
Correct.
If you need to hunt out of your boat, you don't give up all that height that you give up with an airboat gauge. So they've got a good niche in there. Niche.
I thought it was niche.
You thought it was what?
I thought it was niche. But then I hear people say niche, and I'm like, what?
We'll say niche on the podcast.
Okay,
so we sound
I feel like
more
niche
refined.
Is like sophisticated. Maybe niche is the Polk County way of saying it.
Yeah, and I feel like it sounds a little French, and I know we've got some Canadian listeners. So maybe niche.
We want to relate to
Yeah, it makes it more relatable for them.
There you go.
What's next?
Shimano reels.
Overrated.
Yeah, I don't know. I've had a couple of Shimanos that have lasted me a really long time and have stayed smooth with proper care. So, I'll go properly rated. I think they're good reels, but I also think there are just as good or better reels for less money.
Yeah, I'm going overrated, and here's why. Obviously, I'm a Florida Fishing Products guy.
Right.
Like, and we've had them on the show, and I've said before, would have Daiwa or Shimano on the show if they want to. If they want to come be on.
Sure.
We're an open forum. I mean, heck, we've got Kaylee on the show.
Yeah. Anything can happen after that.
I feel like that's offensive.
When you look at a company like Florida Fishing Products, they're giving money back to conservation causes in Florida.
Right.
I'm not saying Shimano's not doing that. I'm saying they cost more for a reel that performs the exact same way. Like, there's... You can't pick those two reels up and say, wow, this one's like 27% better.
Right.
They're so close in value and operation and smoothness and drags. And
plus you get the good feeling that these guys are doing something
and
with conservation.
They're alongside you in the fight, right? Like they're right. In the trenches with us. And I think that carries true whether you're in Texas or North Carolina. Or I talked to a guy last week that just switched to him up in North Carolina. And so to me... I'm not bashing Shimano saying they're overrated.
No.
Like this goes back to the old thing, right? Like you always talk about sports players. Like, is Derek Jeter overrated, underrated, properly rated?
Right.
You're not saying Derek Jeter's bad in any of those scenarios.
Correct. Yes.
So I'm not saying Shimano's bad. I am saying they're overrated to me because they're just so freaking expensive. You can get a comparable product for a little less money and you're keeping all the money at home.
Yeah.
So I'm going overrated.
How much is a Shimano?
It depends.
Like, what is it? What's an average cost?
They start at about $150 and go up to about $600.
Yeah,
for a spinning reel. That's for like an inshore spinning reel.
They're
offshore
very nice.
Reels go up to like $2,000.
I'm not saying they're bad reels.
No, they're great reels. They make a great product, but
I just feel like they fall into the overrated category by definition. Like,
yeah. Well, and you can put your money other places, and you know it's going to good causes, and
yeah,
I feel exactly. Like I would rather pay money for something that you know is going
like that's
a very, everyone's in the fight with you.
If there was some other reel that you could get for $100 that was exactly the same as them,
right?
They're the very definition then of overrated, right? Because they're
overpriced,
their value is too high.
Yeah, right.
Okay, next is taxidermy prices.
Kaylee, how much do you think a duck costs?
I mean, I wouldn't pay more than like $100 for it. Kaylee. But it's probably like
Kaylee.
It's
that's
probably
wrong.
Like $7,000.
No, it's not that much.
Okay, like is it less than 1,000 or is it how many digits
typically
are we talking
less
here?
Than 1,000
yeah.
For one duck.
So like 700, 500?
Okay. Here's where I was going. This was my
do you even model, bro?
Do no. I even model? Yes, I do. This is the time of year when you start seeing duck mounts come back.
Absolutely.
On Facebook.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're bad.
Some of them are really bad.
They're bad. Guys, they're bad.
Yeah.
Like, they're unidentifiable.
Like,
I'm pretty good at identifying ducks, I think. And I can't tell what these are. Like, is that a bufflehead or a snow goose?
Oh, so you don't mean bad, like, BA. You mean, like, terrible.
No. Yeah, like,
no,
awful.
Yeah, like, they're not good.
Like, you should not have paid money for that.
Right.
Like, they took a duck and then they turned it into a goose.
Interesting.
Like the neck is like stretched out beyond belief.
A blue winged goose. You ever heard of a blue winged goose?
Yeah. Or the feet are wrong. Or my favorite is the eyes are wrong. Like the eyes are too far back and it looks like he's laughing at you.
See, I feel like if you're going to take any time on something when you're doing taxidermy, it has to be the eyes.
Oh, no. It has to be
the whole
thing.
Because that's
the
creepiest part. I know, but
everything.
The eyes are like.
They're super important. You're right.
Very important.
You're very right.
And here's where I was going with all this, right? You've got this thing that you've killed that you deem is worthy of hanging on a wall in your house for some reason. Either it's a first duck or it's a trophy duck or whatever. And you're like, you know, I don't really want to spend $300 on it. So I'm going to skimp on this thing that's going to hang on my wall
spend
for the next 30 years
on it.
And spend $150, and it's going to look weird. And people are going to ask me, what kind of duck is that? And
I don't really know.
So I feel like taxidermy prices, this is where I was going. I feel like taxidermy prices are underrated.
Yes, I agree. Okay.
I feel like there needs to be a lot more attention paid to that. And like I just feel like you get what you pay for.
Right, that's what I was about to say. At the end of the day, you get what you pay for. And that's most things in life.
Like plastic surgery.
Yes.
Yes.
You're going to pay out. Not that I'm a plastic surgery kind of
girl. Yeah, tell us about plastic surgery, Kaylee.
I'm not, but I'm just thinking there's a whole TV show dedicated to botched plastic surgeries, which is probably people that went on a budget to get plastic surgery and then it got messed up.
Right. I don't want to give my taxidermist a coupon.
Right. You want to spend the money.
I don't want to buy one duck, get one free.
Right.
But when I get it back, I want it to look like the duck I gave him. Oh, man. This is just like, you've seen it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen them. And they're just, some of them are not good.
And this is how it goes. Inevitably, I'm going to go post. I'm excited because I get my mount back in 3 weeks that I dropped off, which is, first off, if that happens, it's not good.
Yeah.
If you get your mount back in 3 weeks, it's not good. Let me just say that. Without seeing it, it's not good. Mm-hmm. But you pick it up, and then you're so excited because you're like, I don't know if that's awesome or not, but I think maybe it is awesome. And you've lost perspective. Mm. Like you need to take some time alone and really search your soul, mm-hmm. because the next thing you do is you take a picture of it and you post it on Facebook and say, just got my mount back from Nameless Taxidermist.
And you get roasted.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Now, you've asked what people think.
Yeah.
Right. So be ready for their opinion.
Honest opinion.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I can't fault them if they come on there and say, dude, that's terrible. That's right. The worst thing I've ever
seen.
You
dropped off a duck and got back a tiger. Like, right. That's not okay.
And then typically the response is, oh, well, it's in a bad light right now.
Right.
Dude, is the light going to shift those eyes around? Like, is the eye, is it going to shrink the neck? Right. Is it going to fix the feet?
Like, are the wings going to be in a better position? Are they going to look like they're actually attached to the body?
You
like,
could put that sucker under a disco ball in a strip club, and it ain't going to look no better than it does right now.
Throw some glitter on it.
Yeah.
So, yes, underrated.
Underrated taxidermy prices, right?
Yes.
So pay the money.
Pay the money.
Pay the money.
If you're going to spend money, spend more money than you think.
Okay, yeah. Go back to the statement a minute ago. I'm 40 years old. Let's say I live to be 80. That's 40 years it's going to hang on my wall. So if I pay $400, that's $10 a year. That's not crazy. And $400 is a little high for a duck. So to put it in perspective, you're not paying a crap ton in conjunction with what you're getting.
Yeah, agreed.
So pay the money. Gladly pay the money. And also, let me say this. Let me just say this on behalf of... I haven't even talked to Landon about this, but Landon Blankenship is my taxidermist. But I'm going to say this as a guide. If the dude says his ducks cost $300, don't beat him up on the price. They cost $300. Like, be respectful of the dude's pricing.
It's not a garage sale.
Yeah. This isn't negotiation. Non-negotiable. This isn't Sears, mm-hmm. where you walk in there and everything's on the table. Like, this is a clearance sale. Pay what the price is. So, end rant, but probably not.
Yeah, we'll come back to this, I'm sure. Okay, power poles.
I feel like from a market saturation point, you've got to say overrated, but I don't think
they're not overrated, though.
I think they're the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. They're literally the greatest thing ever.
Literally. Like, yeah. I don't know, after being in some boats, like, the boat my dad had.
Tell a story, Nate. Would you like to tell a story here? A story. You're about to tell a story.
Oh, yeah, the boat that my dad had didn't have a power pole on it. So we had our buddy fabricate like
a stick it
kind of thing.
And the
poor man's power pole.
The poor man's power pole.
And it did okay.
It did.
And we enjoyed it, but...
But you didn't enjoy it as much as you did being in my boat and pressing a button and two
there's
anchors.
There's something
going
about pressing a button and two power poles lock you into place.
Yeah.
It's magical.
You want to go up to that shoreline and you want to fish with your nose to the left? Okay. Click. Done. Like, I don't even know if there's an anchor in my boat anymore.
Yeah.
And don't you wear your thing around your neck so you don't even have to, like, search for it? It's just
there. You look like a baller.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
That's what you were going for, right?
Yes.
Is the aesthetics?
Yes.
And two power poles, I feel like, are underrated.
Oh, yeah.
Two power poles are always better than one.
Yes.
I cannot stress that enough.
No. Yeah. This is your first foray into ownership of two power poles. Yes. You fished with me plenty with two, but
right.
And we had an option between one power pole and two. Some people wanted one.
Oh, amateur hour.
I do not have time for that.
No. Because, and we've done this before in another boat with you, one power pole, you spin.
Yes.
You're at the mercy of the wind.
Or you got to do an anchor thing or one of those stick it things or your iPilot thing, which you're then competing against the other power pole. And it's just, ain't nobody got time for that.
Agreed.
Preach.
So I'm going power pole. Did we say underrated?
We said two were underrated, but I would go properly rated.
Properly
rated. I would not say overrated whatsoever.
No, I wouldn't.
No, not even, no.
It makes me sad. It makes me weep for America when I see a boat without a power pole. I feel like this person just doesn't know. They just don't know.
Yeah.
And I get it on like a micro skiff where you don't want the weight. That's the only.
But they make a micro power pole.
Well, those guys, a stick it or a push pole, they can stake out, whatever. I get that. So your Maverick HPX guys and your Hell's Bay guys, y'all keep your hate mail. Don't send it to me.
Right.
But when I see any kind of real deal boat without a power pole, it makes me a little sad, honestly. Like, I feel like it should just be mandatory.
It should just be standard.
We shouldn't be talking about gun control laws. We should be talking about power pole laws.
Agreed.
We should make it mandatory that every boat gets a power pole.
Let's do a power pole walk.
Yes.
On LGI.
A power pole awareness walk.
Fun run for the kids.
For the cure.
Next one is heavy shot.
Let me just ask you a question.
Okay, go.
What percentage of ducks do you believe were killed by heavy shot last year?
Of all ducks in the world?
Of all ducks in America.
I would say more than any other ammo, but I would say it's less than the majority. So I'd say 40% of all ducks in America.
Really, that high? You go that high?
Yeah.
I was thinking like 20.
Okay. I'll split it with you. Say 30.
Okay. We'll say 30%.
One in three ducks.
So
highly scientific how we arrived
there.
Got
it. Yeah, yeah. That was right off the top of our heads. But, and I agree that heavy shot, it's like denser than lead. It's got a little more knockdown power. You know, ducks die quicker. Maybe. I would say it's overrated.
Really?
Yep.
You're going overrated.
I've killed all the ducks I've killed in my entire life have been with $12 to $16 a box steel shot.
Okay.
And my ducks are not any deader than heavy shot ducks.
Okay. I feel like I have to go overrated because of the price. Like,
yeah, that's
price
my
is
thing.
A huge thing to me.
I don't want to pay $25 a box.
And I'm not a heavy shot pro staffer. But I typically shoot heavy shot. When you buy it over the summer, you can buy it on sale and you can buy it with a rebate usually. So you can get it down to about $20 a box. That's still expensive.
Still expensive.
However, I will say this. When I switched from Black Cloud to heavy shot, I noticed that my kills went up. And I spent a lot of time patterning guns, trying different shells, things like that. When I switched fully over to heavy shot, I felt like I lost more birds, or I killed more birds. Now, I hit the same amount. Hit them with Black Cloud or Federal or Kent or whatever.
Right.
But like on divers particularly, there was a lot of water whacking that occurred.
Right.
With heavy shot, they died. So I don't want to bash on them too much. The other thing I will say is heavy shot, like if you get sweaty in the same boat as heavy shot, it will rust.
Yeah, they,
like it's like they the absolute worst. As soon as you open a box, it starts to rust. So for us in Florida, that's a tough pill to swallow because it's expensive.
If you're hunting salt water.
Yeah, I keep mine in little Ziploc baggies of six.
Right.
So yeah, I open them six at a time.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to undervalue the killing power of heavy shot. It is better than steel. In that regard. But is it good enough for me to pay an extra $10 a box?
Yeah, I do.
I
hunt a lot more than most people listening to this probably even. But I pay it because when I get the opportunities on public land, I want to make sure that I put the birds down. I feel you. I think I would lean properly rated,
yeah.
But I'd be on the overrated side of properly rated.
I'm going to go overrated purely on price.
When Apex Ammo comes out with some steel shot that's more in my price range and I can get it, that's one of those TSS companies we were talking about, I think I'm going to give that a whirl and see if I can
get away from it. It'll be more in your price range, but yeah.
Well, you don't know, dude. A fishing and hunting guy like myself We ball out sometimes. With
making
the,
that
with,
money,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, we make it rain.
Okay.
So here's the other thing about Heavy Shot. Have you ever cracked one open?
No, I have not.
Okay. Do you know what they use as filler?
It's flaxseed, right?
It's flaxseed.
What?
It's flaxseed. Because it's biodegradable, like it's a natural thing to use as filler versus paper or whatever else, whatever the other options would be, plastic. So this guy on Florida Duck Hunters, and I won't name him, make fun of him, but he found one at the youth hunt and cut it open and thought hunters were packing seed into shells bait ducks.
Oh, my gosh.
So I just thought that was a delightful little Heavy Shot aside. Like, I do think it's cool they're using something
natural. Yeah, no, I agree.
And not baiting.
Yeah, no, not baiting. You'd have to shoot a lot of Heavy Shot for that to actually...
I would like to do some reloads with corn, though.
A corn shot.
Okay, let's talk about fly fishing.
Do you want to talk about fly fishing? Like, it's so overrated, I don't even want to talk about it.
I feel like it's overrated, too.
Same thing.
It feels like a whole lot of work.
Look, I get it. There's, like, a beauty to it, and, like, it's kind of... It's a romantic thing. I don't know. You know, people make up all kinds of stuff. But you can catch a whole lot more fish in a lot less time with conventional equipment. And I enjoy catching fish. So I'm out on fly fishing.
So it's
overrated.
So here's the thing about fly fishing. Lefty Cray passed away a few weeks ago. Cool cat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a... this is where I'm going. There's a coolness aspect to fly fishing. Who's the coolest fisherman in Florida?
Flip Pallet.
Fly fisherman.
He's a fly fisherman.
Like, Courtney Martin, one of our... She's a good friend of mine. She's an artist down in Southwest Florida. Fly fisherman. Like, so there's a certain coolness to it that I think pulls it back towards properly rated.
Yes.
I get...
But there's also a pretentiousness to it.
I don't disagree with you. But I think that's more of the stuck up side of it.
Yeah.
And I think there's two sides to every coin.
Sure.
And I agree. I'm not arguing. I'm trying to, but I'm not. Because I'm right there with you. Yeah, like, what did I say a second ago? It's overrated.
Right.
I feel like maybe it's not overrated. Maybe it's properly rated, because there's still scenarios where fly fishing outproduces. When you talk like nighttime snook fishing on the lights. Like, if you haven't fly fished those, you can outproduce shrimp a lot of nights.
Yeah.
So,
I think if I had, like, really gotten into it at a younger age, and, like, that was what I devoted my time to, I probably would feel differently about it.
And it is work.
Absolutely, it's work.
Like, it's work. Like, you're not running the trolling motor around and then fly fishing.
Because you can hand somebody a spinning rod... And in 10 minutes, they'll have mastered how to cast it.
Yeah, as a guide, I ain't got no interest in fly fishing customers anymore.
No.
But there is something beautiful about...
There is, absolutely.
...tricking a tarpon that weighs 140 pounds into eating this thing that's...
Made out of feathers. Yeah, I agree. There's a beauty to it, and there's a nuance to it, and a romance. It's a romantic type thing, but I just think in the grand scheme of things, it's overrated.
Okay, I'll go with you on overrated, but I'm going to go like, if properly rated, it's a 5, and it has to be a 5. I'm going, this is like a 6. Like, it's just barely nodding towards overrated.
No,
is that getting too granular, Kaylee, on our scale? Like, am I
no,
allowed
I
to
feel
do
like
that?
That's fair.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I just think it's a lot of work. And
it's
I'm not
a lot of work.
I'm not patient enough as it is to fish, so don't give me a fly fishing rod.
Yeah.
I'm out on that 100%. I want to catch 70 snook in an hour. I'm not fly fishing.
Yeah, you're a killer. You're not in it for the experience. You're in it for
the... I come to win, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. That's fair.
That's fair.
You know who you are.
Yeah, but I think it's a beautiful thing. Like, I love seeing paintings or pictures of, you know, people fly
fishing.
Watching
a river runs through it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Redford.
Beautiful, but practically not for me.
Salmon Fishing in the Yemen. Is that the name of that movie?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either. I'm just making stuff up at this point.
Okay, next is aftermarket chokes. How do you feel?
I shoot an aftermarket choke.
And we talk about chokes a lot on this show.
We do.
I got to go overrated.
Me too. I'm in the same boat.
And I shoot an aftermarket choke as well.
Me too. I think you can get close to the same results with the chokes that came with your gun than paying $60 or $100 for a choke.
I go back to, overrated doesn't mean bad. I go back to the idea of if you created a vacuum and you said, I can only spend this much money on hunting, I would never tell you to spend the money on chokes.
Right.
If you buy a gun that comes with choke tubes, like,
go hunt.
That is not what you spend money on.
Yeah, go
spend
hunt.
It on decoys and mojos and things like that. Don't spend it on aftermarket chokes. I do believe there are differences in patterns. And I believe as you get more and deeper into the sport, that's a thing that, is it a maturity? Like as you mature as a hunter,
yeah,
you become more interested in. You
become more aware of your pattern and how it flies through the air.
So I'm going overrated, but I'm going.
Overrated, not bad.
Yeah, not terribly overrated.
Yeah.
But overrated for sure.
I agree.
Because they're also, aftermarket chokes are expensive.
Yeah, they're getting up. $100+ now.
Oh, yeah. Like a Rob Roberts or a...
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
man.
That's an expensive choke. I do shoot one. But it's an expensive choke.
Yeah.
How many more we got, Kaylee?
Two.
Two more.
Two more.
All right. So next one is remote control trolling motors.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
I've had some experience.
You have some passion with this.
I don't know about passion. I've had some experience with them. I think they have their application and I think they have their place, but it takes a lot of time and practice to get good at them. I'm going to go... If we're going to go back to the scale, I'm going to go like a 6 on the properly overrated.
We've completely changed the rules of the game as this has gone on.
Yeah.
I love that we've done that.
No, it's great. It gives some depth to the conversation we're having now. I have used them. I don't love the anchor feature because it moves around too much.
It jogs.
Yeah. Because it's especially, even if you're in still water, not a lot of current, it's constantly adjusting and changing and moving, and if you hit it here but you're kind of still drifting, it's got to like spin around and shoot you back the other way because it, you know, you move 10 feet from it, and I don't, you know,
it's got to correct.
Yeah, I think they're over. I think they're, see, again, I'm gonna go 6 on the overrated side.
All right, I'm going full on binary overrated,
full on 10,
like, they are 10. Way overrated. There is no one catching more fish because of their electronic trolling motor than I'm catching with my
handheld
motor guide or Riptide that I control with my knee.
I agree.
I would say the only reason I would even nod in their direction of properly rated would be the anchor feature for deeper water.
Deep water applications. But the anchor feature, and I think it will, it's got to get better, more accurate.
Yeah, and there's
tighter.
Some arguments out there. The XI-5 does better when you tie it into the Lowrance or whatever.
Yeah,
what
I mean,
with,
yeah, you can Rodan, XI-5, iPilot. There's arguments
for and against each
for
one.
And against all of them. I think the Rodans and the XI-5s have the same GPS system in it.
That's what I've read.
And so they're tighter. I've heard they're tighter, like down to 5 feet instead of like 15 feet for the iPilot. So I don't know.
If we were in a position, and we don't typically catch bait around a bridge, but like the guys up in Tampa, they catch bait around the Skyway.
Right.
I could see it being very advantageous for that.
Sure.
Because you can put the spot lock on, and it's going to hold you generally in that
same
spot,
kind of spot.
So you can bait up against the pilings. For my application, though, and for fishing, I can't see it being
that
big of a game.
And the remote
is not intuitive.
It's not great. You got to really practice with it and get good at it.
Yeah.
For it to be like super effective.
I need them to make it to where it's connected somehow to my overpriced sunglasses.
So wherever you look.
Yeah, so where I look, where I can just control it with my head and like tilt my head one way or the other. And
yes.
That's big time, right?
No, yeah, absolutely.
Hit me up, Minn Kota, and we'll patent that together.
There you go.
All right, last but definitely not least.
Last but not least.
Tacos.
Tacos.
I just need to know your thoughts.
We went off the rails on this one.
Oh, hold on. Do you have a thought about tacos?
Tacos are like legit my favorite food.
Are they overrated, underrated, properly rated?
I feel like they're properly rated because I feel like there's a trend right now for some reason all about tacos. You can buy t-shirts about tacos and phone cases about tacos. Everything's about
tacos.
There's
a day dedicated to tacos.
Right, Taco Tuesday.
That's true.
So I think it's properly rated because tacos are delicious.
I celebrate privately.
You do? Taco Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go underrated because more people need to eat tacos.
Yeah, I'm going to go underrated because I don't think tacos have reached their full potential.
Agreed.
What would be their full potential?
Well, Nate alluded to an
Ten
episode
Lizzies.
Or two ago. Yeah, like
oh.
talking about
oh
like Cajun
gosh.
Tacos. And
I
and
could write an
low
essay
country boil tacos,
to
Korean barbecue tacos. Like,
yeah, I feel
their
like
margaritas will change your life.
Yeah, okay. But this isn't about
we're
that.
Not talking about margaritas.
No, but I think
we're
tacos,
about tacos,
we need to talk about everything that involves tacos.
Right, no.
It's not just about tacos.
Tacos are a shell and some meat and some cheese and some other things.
That you also drink margaritas with and also eat chips and salsa with.
Yeah, chips and salsa are a separate entity, and they are.
Oh, I
now,
could talk about
unless
that
you get them
too.
From our local taco truck, tacos, my friend.
Tacos, my friend.
That's like traditional Mexican style taco.
Street meat, tacos.
Yeah. Meat, onion, cilantro.
No, I go meat, cheese.
Nah,
no,
see,
onion.
Onion, cilantro.
Onion
and
that
is
green
the devil's
sauce.
Breath.
No. And the green sauce, yes.
I don't love onion, but I'm all about the green sauce.
Yes.
I had a craving for Taco Bell tacos today.
Yeah, that's a different category of tacos, but this is why I think they're underrated.
Versatile.
Like, I think, yeah, you can get fast food tacos. You can get street tacos. You can go to, like, a sit-down-y type restaurant and get tacos there.
Fish tacos, meat tacos.
Fish tacos.
Shrimp tacos.
Yeah, it's just like, I feel like we are just entering the golden age of tacos.
Maybe.
You know what's great to make with tacos?
What's that?
Venison.
Oh, yeah.
Venison tacos or any type of wild game.
Yeah.
We need to try duck tacos.
I've had duck tacos in Arkansas, and they were baller, yo.
Yeah. I'm into that.
People
know,
still say
that?
That
needs to happen.
No, people do not say baller, yo.
It's time for Keep and Release.
What's your release, Nate?
So,
or Kaylee?
Yeah, let's go Kaylee first.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and release the Little Gasparilla Island Facebook group.
Okay.
So
this is a group release, right?
This is going to be, yeah.
I feel like we're all in this together.
We're all in this together a little bit. And for those of you who don't know, our family and the Thompsons have been going down to Little Gasparilla Island for a week during the summer every year for like 25 years.
I was 8 weeks old the first time I went.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a thing. And there's a Facebook group for Little Gasparilla Island.
Which is the worst thing.
It's
about
terrible.
Little Gasparilla Island.
Absolutely terrible. And then, so this lady, right, posted and said she was going to walk from one part of the island all the way down to the point in support of gun control.
Yes.
To, like, raise awareness for gun control.
On this group.
And then she say something like,
and she wants to raise awareness not just for gun control, but also to ban automatic weapons.
Which have been banned since like 1986.
Fun fact.
Which I may have mentioned to her in the comments because I can't stand it. Like,
right.
I can't
oh, yeah.
Stand
no.
The idiocy.
No.
And
ignorance.
I should just say, you know what? I don't have to respond. But it just felt like.
You can't not respond, though.
I can't.
You, I know you. You cannot.
But this
not
is
respond.
The problem with the gun control debate, right? There's so many uninformed people.
Yes.
Making the loudest noise.
Yes.
Yes. So
I just feel like the group has so much potential to be like very informative, especially for people that haven't ever been to the island.
It's a very happy place.
It's a very happy place. It's
beautiful.
A unique place. It's beautiful. And for someone like me who, well, it's literally one of my favorite places on planet Earth, and I've been a lot of places, it just needs to be better than it is. And it's just not good.
I think you're hoping for the internet to be better, and I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No. Yeah, I think I have high hopes every time I log on and then I leave being like, why did we just spend 47 comments talking about turtles?
Here's the
turtles
deal.
Are great, but...
Here's the deal. Since we're talking Facebook groups, you have something? You go ahead. Here's the deal. We've talked about Ben Pierce on this group. He does a group called the Hybrid Club or the Hybrid Page.
The Hybrid Club, yeah.
All that happens on that page is people post pictures of beautiful hybrids. If you post anything else, he deletes it. Mm. And it's so happy because when you see a hybrid duck, you're like, wow, that's the happiest
beautiful.
Thing I've ever
that's,
seen in my life.
Yeah, it's a beautiful duck.
I feel like that's how some more moderators should do on some Facebook groups.
Absolutely.
I will,
the Little Gasparilla group.
I will be
or
the moderator.
They make a separate group to say, the complainers from Little Gasparilla Island have started this other group.
And I mean, I'm not going to lie. When people comment and are like, this is our first time going, yeah, there's things I want to tell them like, okay, be sure to do this. Make sure to do this. Because I want their experience to be just as happy as ours has been.
Right.
But I also know that's not realistic. Because we have great memories, but we also have really terrible memories.
For our listeners that are not local, you cannot get to this island by car.
No.
There's no bridge to the island.
You have
to take a
boat.
But it is, you're staying in houses.
Houses
like
stilt
like,
houses.
Stilt houses. Mm-hmm. So there's electricity and there's running water and all that stuff. Some houses have Wi-Fi now.
Yeah.
But it's remote, and it started for us as kind of a fishing camp.
Right.
And grew from there.
You get to really escape reality,
I you get
like.
To really escape. So it's closed for us, but this is where we always go, like you said, as a group family vacation every year. Anyway, yes, I would release that group. I feel like that's a great
release.
Yeah, I'm done with it.
My release is in a similar vein. And that is, I got to tap dance around this a little bit.
Okay.
There's a little bit of a selfish nature in the outdoors community around podcasts. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
they think there's not enough room for
yes,
all of us.
And there's one in particular I'm thinking of when I'm speaking here, but I don't have a problem sharing your podcast.
No.
I don't have a problem encouraging you, helping you, whatever I need to do to get your podcast going. But there is a well-known person in the industry that every time our post gets close to him, even if we don't share it, if one of our listeners shares it, he deletes it. And I don't know if he's threatened by it or what's going on, but it's just like, come on,
like,
man.
There's enough room for everybody here.
Like, lighten up.
Yeah. So, it's like, you know, we're going to steal his listeners and his listeners are never going to listen to him again.
That's exactly what the mentality
is. Which
is
ridiculous. I listen to like 6 or 8 different podcasts.
I do too.
Right?
Obviously, this is the best one.
Of course.
Obviously.
I mean.
You're uninvited.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Thank you, Kaylee, for your last episode.
It's great.
Anyway, I just feel like we should all be a little nicer about that stuff.
Agreed.
Why can't we just all be in it together and like support one another? I don't understand why we have to argue over it's
but
dumb.
I mean,
we're adults.
This is not an exaggeration. And the group, I don't mind saying, the group is Duck South. Anytime someone, and it's happened 10 times, one of our listeners has said, oh, you guys should check out this episode and shared it on that group. They go and delete it because they have their own podcast.
That's silly.
Yeah, it's
really, like not against the rules of the group.
And I've messaged one of the admins. I'm like, hey, can we figure this out or sort this out or whatever? And I don't know. I just don't understand it. Like, I guess we're just wired a little different.
I guess so.
And if you've listened to the show, you know we're wired a lot different.
A lot different.
Like, we ain't competing with
normal.
Your duck reports.
Yeah. Our wires are a little misconnected over here.
If they let me on this podcast, you know we're
yeah.
different.
Oh, yeah.
Keeps? You got a keep?
Yeah, I got a keep.
You have a keep?
I do.
All right. Who's going first?
I'll go first. Right. My keep is I'm loving the fact that these camo companies are bringing back like the original camos.
Oh,
so like
best.
Mossy Oak Bottomland and Realtree Original and like the old Mossy Oak Tree Stand. Like, I love that kind
vintage.
Of camo. Vintage camo. Like 1980s style
yeah.
camo.
Like camo your pappy would have worn.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm loving it because I love those camo. I just love the patterns. They're super cool, and I think they're still effective, even though camo has evolved.
Dude,
so
let's be honest, camo is camo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've gotten a little crazy with some of the patterns. I'm not gonna lie.
Agreed.
I don't know if I've said this on the show before, because let's be honest, I forget half of what I say in between now and when I edit this.
Sure.
One of the most popular questions I get on duck hunting trips is, what pattern of camo should I buy? And we've talked about it. Like, you've heard me say this, right?
Right.
I tell people I wear a green t-shirt. Like, I have an old Under Armour green t-shirt that I wear. So it's not the end of the world if you want to wear Mossy Oak or Bottomlands or whatever. For Florida,
whatever.
It's so green all year round.
That anything green will work.
Yeah, anything green will work.
I think I just have some sort of thing in my mind because Nathan's my brother, but there was always a certain pattern that we would buy. I don't know. I feel like you are always like, no, don't get that one because this one's better. Or if we were in Bass
Pro, I've never really been
like comparing.
Brand loyal to any pattern
camo?
Or another. Yeah. Because I've worn Realtree. I've worn Mossy Oak. I own both. I own Predator. I've got several different types.
But there were certain ones you wouldn't wear.
There were. Yeah. Because maybe they look dumb.
And I'll give a shout out to one of our listeners, Alex with Quackskins. Like, that's a cool camo.
It's
have you seen that?
Camo.
The cattail pattern.
Yeah,
and now he's working on one with palmettos. And
that's cool.
Yeah,
no,
that makes
I'm
a lot
that.
More sense for me in Florida
sure.
than a lot of the stuff that we do wear that's all brown and rice field looking.
Right, exactly.
So, no, that's a great keep item. Like, the vintage stuff is
the
awesome.
The original stuff is great.
It's awesome.
Vintage is always better.
What are you keeping?
So I'm keeping, there's a show on CNN, which I don't watch CNN ever. It's called American Dynasty, and it's all about the Kennedys. I'm thinking there's other series that go along with American Dynasties, but right now they're focusing on the Kennedys.
I read about this.
And there's only 2 episodes right now. I don't know how many there will be, but I really enjoyed it. I think I've learned a lot about the Kennedys, and you hear a lot about the Kennedys and from your parents and grandparents and stuff, but really diving into who they were and like home videos and in the sequence of from start to finish, it's just really, really interesting. I actually really enjoy it. So
yeah.
Check it out if you're into the Kennedys or want to learn more about them.
I love history stuff.
Yeah. I like it when it's laid out like this.
Yeah, I was listening to another podcast called Mafia. Have you heard this one?
I have not.
And it's only like six episodes in, and they are unpacking the mafia history person by person. So each episode is dedicated to a person.
Yeah.
And the first episode was dedicated to Sam Giancana, which was the Chicago mafia lord in like the 60s, 50s, and 60s. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to those two episodes, you're going to come away convinced that he killed Kennedy, that he had Kennedy killed.
Hmm. Interesting.
Like that he was behind the
assassination. Was he the guy that they, because I know like Bobby and Jack both argued with like a mob guy and like kind of took him on. That might have been him.
It might have been him.
I just watched part of like there was that was part of an episode.
It's been a couple weeks since I listened to that episode, but the gist of it was he had connections to Oswald, and he also had connections to Ruby, the guy that killed Oswald.
Okay,
who no one could ever figure out how they were connected.
Right. And
he basically got Kennedy elected in Illinois. And short of paying voters, like I'm pretty sure they paid voters to get Kennedy elected in Illinois. And then Kennedy named his brother attorney general, and his brother started cracking down on Giancana's business. Mm. So if you listen to it, I came away, like I went into it. Somebody told me I would come away convinced of it. And I went into it thinking, nah, there's no way. I'm pretty sure this was a dude that shot somebody. I feel like it's absolutely true.
Yeah. And with the show, I thought I would be kind of bored by it, but they have like the children and grandchildren of some of the Kennedy kids on there. So it seems just really legit.
Yeah, no, I'll check that out. I've heard good things about that. And that's probably the only good thing you'll ever hear about CNN or the only mention of CNN on this
show. I'm not a promoter of CNN whatsoever, but check it out.
My keep item is an easy one this week if you don't know about it already. You know about Barkeeper's Friend?
Yes, I do.
Have you used it before?
I have.
Barkeeper's Friend is, you can buy it at Publix, about $3 for a bottle. And you can get it in powder or liquid. And it will take the rust stains out of your boat like nothing I've ever seen before.
It'll take a lot of stains
out
of your
boat.
Yeah,
we have it at our house.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff. Like, you can put it on. I buy the liquid, you shake it up real good, and you just put it on there. And I squirt it on kind of heavy, and I let it set.
Uh-huh.
And come back and brush it about a minute later and let it set, and then spray it off. And I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Like, it's the time of year to clean my boat, my fishing boat. It's been under oak trees, pollen, that kind of stuff. Dude, this crap's incredible. So if you don't know about it, a lot of fishermen do, but
right.
If you haven't used it before.
We always bought the powder.
Yeah.
So if I had a stain that I had a particular problem with when I was washing the boat, I would sprinkle it on the stain, let it sit, kind of wet the area.
Yeah, wet it, sprinkle it, make a paste.
Yeah, and kind of just let it sit and then scrub it real good with kind of a stiff brush. And then again, like you said, let it sit and then rinse it off. Like brand new.
Yeah, it's an awesome product. The reason I wanted it as my keep is somebody mentioned to me they'd never heard of it the other day. And I was wow, we need to talk about that on the podcast. Because, again, Barkeeper's Friend sent a goldish looking bottle, and you can buy it on the cleaning aisle at Publix or whatever. It really will.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. That's me. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.